You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It's Wednesday, February the 10th. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
And lots to discuss today. You know, when we initially looked at it, it was like, yeah, there's not a lot of big stuff to talk about. But then you start digging into the weeds on this, and there's a lot to talk about. Sports is never ending. There's always something going on that is worth talking about, and that's what we do. So, Akbar jumps in. He said, good afternoon, guys. If you would like to be a part of the show, you can jump in the chat. Any of the different live platforms that we are on right now, if you're watching, you already know. We're on Periscope, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. You can jump into the chat on any one of those. It will populate right there in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen, and you can help drive the conversation. Terry said, what's up? Tried to sneak in early on me. Yeah, no, here's the deal. I'll go ahead and tell you what's going on. We are prepping for an ice storm. I have got the gas fireplace guy coming out to service my fireplace, and that will be probably sometime between 3:30 and 4:30, somewhere around that. I don't know. So whenever that happens, I got to be ready. And we got to go ahead and knock this out. My son comes home for his nap a little late, you know, all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot going on today that we got to prep for. Hey, I had to go get weather stripping today. Like, when's the last time you had to replace weather? You've got a pretty new house, don't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, my house is only 5.5 years old.
Mine is 25 years old.
I've replaced weather stripping in the back door because I used to, my old dog that is no longer with us, used to rip and claw at it to try to get in or try to get out, really. So
this one, my front door in my formal living room, it's like the wind was just whipping right through there. Like, yep. No issue whatsoever. It just,
now you definitely want to seal your house up.
Oh yeah.
That's important.
Rest of the door is perfectly fine, but I had to go out and get some weather stripping today, because we kind of noticed it and it was like, okay, this is, but with the fact that it's going to be like 10 degrees on Saturday, like I said, you know what? We normally don't have to worry about it being too cold, but you know, if we're going to be looking at possible power outages and all that kind of stuff, I definitely want it sealed up. So, Terry said, oh God, you scared? Not like it's going to be Ice Storm 94. Ice Storm 1994 in the Memphis area was a complete debacle. I remember being without power for almost a week. I mean, yeah. It was, do you remember all that?
Yeah, I remember. My grandfather had, which is the only regret I have when I built this house, is we don't have a wood-burning fireplace. I don't do a lot of things that are manly, okay? You've been on the show long enough, you know. I'm wearing a Harry Potter hoodie, okay? I'm a big guy, but I'm not a manly guy, all right? The one manly thing I do, and I can do it as good as anybody in the world, is I can build fires. Build a fire, and I could cook on fire. I can build on fire, and I can make a fire happen from very little resources. And I actually like chopping wood. It's a therapeutic thing for me. I enjoy it. It doesn't bother me at all. And I regret that we don't have a wood burning fireplace or wood burning stove is what I really want. My grandfather had one that was, it was bigger than the table that we record on. Stove, and it like hooked to the ventilation system in the house where you turn the fan on and it would like run through the air ducts. And that we all went to Mama and Papa's house when that happened. And I mean, we cooked on it. Like had the big stove top and we put the pots on there and my mama had boiling water and, you know, everything going all at all times. And that's how we survived, man.
Next house that we do, I would probably think about doing that.
Gas fireplaces are pretty. That's the list right there. That's the list. They don't put off any heat at all. They don't actually heat your house. They're strictly there for aesthetics. If I built another house, this house called for a gas fireplace. I didn't even put one in. I put one in the sunroom, but that was it. Like, you know, why waste the wall space and have a bunch of rock that you got to put in and tile you got to put around it or decor you got to put around it for nothing?
You have a valid point there. Terry said, I'm going to make some t-shirts. I'll make a fortune. I still see those 1994 shirts. John said, enjoying the 65-degree Clemson, South Carolina weather. Yeah. I got to tell you, I do miss the 60s right now. It's what, about 39, 40 degrees outside, something like that. But it's going to
be... Yeah, it's not too terribly cold right now. But it's dropping.
And we're getting the ice tonight. So it's not snow. It's going to be raining first, and then it's all going to freeze, and all the moisture will move out for a little while, and then next Monday, Tuesday, we're going to get snow. So it is what it is. John said, I don't miss Illinois this time of year. No, certainly. Our buddies from the Westlake Pirates have had to deal with, what is it, like 20 inches of snow?
Yeah, man. Ridiculous. And then, I mean, even Scuzz out in Seattle. I mean, Seattle. Jesus.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Cincinnati normally is far enough south where they don't really get hit with that much snow. And
oh, we got this polar vortex thing working right now, man. It's bananas. Your last crap. So what's up, Chris and Gary? Listening, watching while at work. Are you guys going to talk FCS football ranking soon? Next week, my friend. Next week. We will have that.
Yeah, we're gonna let them get a week of games in.
Well, so there's only one game this week. We'll kind of start prepping next week, and there's going to be more games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week. So we will be discussing it. No worries that you're a little bit early. So let's go ahead and dive into some of the things that we're going to talk about. The NCAA tournament, I write my time down here. The NCAA tournament announced their times for the tournament, basically. For what it's going to look like this year, the first four is not going to be on Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, we already knew this from a few weeks ago, but the first four is going to be on that first Thursday. So you are not going to have your typical Thursday opening day, everybody taking off work, going out to the bar, right? You've got a game at 5 o'clock, a game at 6:20, a game at 8:30, and a game at 9:50. This is all Eastern time. You got True TV, TBS, True TV, TBS for those. Because everything is being held in Indianapolis. So you got to get all the teams there, and you got to get all of them tested and quarantined and whatever for however many days it is. And you're doing the first four on Thursday. So the first round games are going to be on Friday and Saturday. And you got 16 games on Friday. You got 16 games on Saturday. And the times are pretty nuts. First game on that Friday, March 19th. We'll start at noon on CBS, that's Eastern time, so 11 a.m. our time. Then it goes noon, 12:30, 1, 1:30, then 2:45, 3:20, 3:50, 4:20. It goes all night, but Chris, I'm curious your thoughts on this, because we're going to have games on, like, first round, basically Friday, Saturday, and they don't call it first round, they call it a round of 64.
Round of 64, yeah.
First round games on Friday, Saturday, and then second round on Sunday, Monday. And after that, Then you move into the third round, which will be, or the Sweet 16, which is the following Saturday. So you got Saturday, Sunday, and then the Elite Eight is on Monday and Tuesday, and then the Final Four is on that Saturday and Monday.
So that's actually shocking, because originally when they said they were going to quarantine everybody to Indianapolis, they kind of talked about blowing through this thing and basically giving everybody like 2 or 3 days off instead of a week off between like two rounds, 2-3 days off, two rounds, 2 to 3 days off, two rounds.
That's what I was surprised about.
That's what they originally talked about. They're giving them the whole week off, not even playing on Friday of the following week, but waiting until Saturday. Yeah, that's more time than I thought they were going to give them.
Well, I think because of the TV stuff, right? They needed to make sure that it was on that Saturday and that Monday for Viacom, right? For CBS. And it's, you know, I guess it's going to be all right, but the swap up here is going to be so different. Like having Sweet 16 games on Saturday, Sunday, and then Elite Eight on Monday, Tuesday, and then you got the Final Four that Saturday. That just, it feels a little strange.
No, I'm fine with it. I don't think anything feels strange to me anymore, just because as long as we're getting this stuff in, like the fact that it's all going to be in one centralized location, the fact that there aren't going to be fans in the stands, all stuff, like none of that bothers. I've now become accustomed to it. As long as I'm getting it and it's not a bastionization of the game, they haven't changed the game. I don't care that the game's being played on Tuesday and we've never had a game on Tuesday before. Like, that doesn't move the needle for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to show up on Tuesday and I'm going to watch. Like,
yeah. No, that's a, you're 100%.
Like, that doesn't bother me that I'm used to this being on this day and now it's not. Like, I don't care.
I could get with that. I could get with it. I think we've all kind of learned to adapt here in the last year.
Well, it's all about being flexible, right?
Yeah.
And if you're going to let little things like that throw off your kilter, then you're not going to survive the new world.
Now, you are right about that.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so with that said, we will move into college basketball primers. Now, a lot of people have not been paying attention to college basketball, and I don't blame you. Football season has been going on. We've been prepping on the Super Bowl and everything else. So we're going to talk for just a few minutes about teams that you need to pay attention to, you know, to get yourself ready for March, right? Because we're only a month away from Selection Sunday. I'd say that. Yeah, I guess it's about a month away. let's see, Joe jumps in. Hi, Nikki. Hail to the WFT. That's what I'm talking about. Terry said, I got to do snow and ice removal at the airport tomorrow, which is going to oh, my God. That's going to be awful. That is going to be awful.
Hey, man, that's what he gets paid for.
No, you're right about that, but, ooh, man, that is something else. All right, so our top-seeded teams right now, the teams that are most likely to get the one seeds, Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and Ohio State. Interesting part about Michigan, if you have not been paying attention, they have been on a COVID break for about 2 weeks now, and their first game back is against Illinois. Their COVID break did not include any positive tests for the basketball team. The Department of Health from the state of Michigan shut down the athletic programs at the University of Michigan, right? Which is insane. I think it's a county thing, but they had one of those weird strains that came from overseas. So they just shut down Michigan basketball. It really surprised me because Michigan State has been playing.
The Big Ten, I can't explain it. I know this. They're going to put teams in championships. They're going to put teams in playoffs. And their whole philosophy is be really good early and don't play. That's their mantra is we're just not going to play. We're going to play as little as possible. We're going to look as good as we can look at the beginning or at the end, but we're going to miss huge chunks of the season. We're going to play far less than everybody else, and that's our key to victory right here. This is how we can hang with other teams and other conferences and other in all these sports.
Just to give everybody an idea, so Alabama is sitting at 16-5, Ohio State is 16-4, Houston 16-2, Iowa is 13-6, Illinois is 13-5. Then you got Baylor and Gonzaga. Baylor 17-0, they missed a couple of games, and Gonzaga is 19-0, and they missed one game.
Michigan is
13-1. That's how many games they are behind everybody else. So Ohio State has played 20 games. Michigan has played 14.
So bad. I mean, they're what, three games behind Gonzaga?
They're five games behind Gonzaga. They are three games behind Baylor. So
you're talking about record. I'm talking about played. They've played 14 games.
They've played 14. Played 17. Gonzaga has played 19. Baylor has played 17.
Although you said 17-0.
Okay. No. Baylor's 17-0. Gonzaga's 19-0.
I got those mixed up. Sorry. Yeah. But yeah. Okay. So it's not awful, but you know, at some point in time, playing has to matter. I mean, this is what we said all of college football. The difference is it doesn't really matter. Make them any seed you want. They're going to have to run through a 64 team.
Exactly.
Goal.
Exactly.
So I'm going to laugh at it because I find it ironic that it's happening to the same conferences and their blue bloods in the conference. It doesn't happen for Wisconsin. It doesn't happen for Northwestern. No. It happens to the guys that are supposed to be there.
Wisconsin is 14-6. By the way, the Big Ten is the one conference that moved their conference tournament over to Indianapolis. So they're already going to be in Indianapolis.
Yeah, they're already going to be there.
Yep. So Wisconsin is sitting at 14-6, by the way. They've played 20 games. But if you look at some of the other ones, Villanova is number 10 at KenPom right now. They are 12-2. They had a nice long break as well. Their break was from December 23rd all the way to January 19th. Yeah. It was a long time. So, and they did not look great when they came back. I'll say that. So Michigan right now, the last time that Michigan has played was on January 22nd. And now here we sit. Their next game is February 14th against Wisconsin. Who knows? We'll see.
That's right. We'll see. But here's the thing. I don't get that upset about it because I don't care what seed you are in. At some point in time, you're going to have to run a gauntlet. At some point in time, if you're a high seed, you're going to have to avoid playing a low seed that is hungry for an upset, that has everything to win and nothing to lose. That's a tough thing to go against sometimes, you know? And then at the backside of that is eventually if you win those games and don't get upset, you're going to play teams of equal or greater caliber.
Yes.
This is the thing that college football doesn't have.
No, you're exactly right.
A big-ass tournament where nobody cares that you got in or not.
Yeah.
Or that you earned your way in or not, really.
No, you're 100% right about that. As far as bubble teams to pay attention to, because I went through, you know, some of the top 10, the top seeds there. With all the ones that are in the middle, we'll eventually talk about them. You know, we'll be doing picks and whatnot on here. The last four byes, this is what Joe Lunardi has over at ESPN. Indiana, LSU, Drake, and Boise State are the last four byes. The last four teams that are in, according to him, are Stanford, UConn, Oregon, and VCU, Virginia Commonwealth. That can obviously change. His first four out, St. Louis, St. John's, Penn State, and Colorado State. And then the next four out, Maryland, Richmond, SMU, and Western Kentucky. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Is there a world where how many teams of Kansas, Kentucky, the four blue bloods, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, make the tournament, miss the tournament?
Kansas, I don't believe. I take that back. Kansas will get in. All seven of their losses are quad one losses, and they're in their quad one and quad two games, they're 7-7. So they're going to be fine. They're okay. They're just not great, right? And that's all right. They're a good basketball team. They won at Oklahoma State last night. Looked pretty good in doing that. But, that was at home. Either way, they got the win over Oklahoma State. That's a pretty good basketball team. And let's see, Kentucky, no chance. Duke, I mean, they would have to beat some really, really good teams, and they have not shown the ability to beat good teams. North Carolina, I think, will get in, I think. But right now they're sitting, 11, 10, 9 seed, somewhere in there. But they're just not very good. All these teams that normally rely on freshmen, we talked about this on the show before, I believe last week. All the teams that rely on these first-year players to come in and really gel and play well, they're not doing so hot. And part of it, like for Kansas, for sure, the reason they're not as good as normal, well, their recruiting has been down ever since this FBI stuff started. Like they don't have any top 50 guys. They've got, I think, one top 100 guy. I mean, their roster is not what it usually is. Kentucky, they've got a bunch of really good freshmen, but they're not gelling and they don't look all that good. And that's kind of what happens when you move from high school to college, but you go a year without playing in between, right? Like you can't really practice for something like this. So Duke is the same way. They've got some first year guys and whatnot, but Duke's roster isn't all that great. But North Carolina, they're so long as they keep getting a few wins here and there. Did you see the North Carolina stuff where Miami traveled all the way to Chapel Hill and decided they didn't want to play the game because a video came out of the North Carolina players after the game, like out at parties without masks on and all that? Yeah, so they opted not to do that. And so now it's, should North Carolina have forfeited the game? Blah, blah, blah. There's no precedent at all for anybody forfeiting this year. So
no.
Terry wants to know if we're going to do a bracket challenge this year. We might. I mean, you never know. This is a pretty crazy year, but it could be interesting. We'll see how many people want to enter and whatnot. We'll ask as we get closer. So it's a lot of work to do those things, so I'll have to figure out if I feel like doing it. But yeah, so college basketball,
I mean, worst-case scenario, we just go on ESPN. We create a private group with a WCE password. We give the password out every day, and people can join if they want.
That's a very good point.
Then you let ESPN or Yahoo do the damn thing.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, we could probably do that.
All right. I'm always Terry, up we'll for making that. Things easier.
That's hey, I'm a.
We don't
I'm
have to do it ourselves, guys.
I am a fan of that. All right, let's move on from that, and let's talk about the NFL for a minute. Of course, obviously the Super Bowl is done. Damian jumps in. He said, "I'll enter." That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's get some guys in. If you guys want to enter, jump in the chat. Let me know. We'll create that thing. Russell Wilson is tired of being hit in Seattle. That's what he said. So,
all right, hang on. Let's hang on. Okay, Jason Lockenfora, who's a great writer who I like a lot, and I listen to a lot of his content, by the way. Jason Lockenfora came out and he kind of was like reading tea leaves. He hadn't talked to anybody. He hasn't reported that this is a rumor. This is one of those ESPN things where somebody throws an idea out in the morning. It gets batted around through the wash all day, and it's literally just an idea, okay? It is a weird, crazy, fun hypothetical. And then by Saturday, 7 o'clock SportsCenter, it's gospel. It is being reported that this is happening, okay? We got to be real careful with that, all right?
All right.
Jason Lockenfora floated out the idea that Russell Wilson might get sick of getting hit and won't out because he doesn't like the system. Pete Carroll's philosophy of offense is just run the ball more, and they don't want to get better offensive linemen. Why get better offensive linemen when Russell's never missed a snap? And so he's basically saying, well, because Russell's so good, because he's Superman, we don't have to do this, this, and this to make his job easier. And wouldn't you find that to be frustrating? As an individual that's not a part of a team, the answer for everyone universally across the board is yes.
Here's where this all came from. Brandon Marshall, former teammate of his, said on FS1 First Things First this week, Russell Wilson is beyond frustrated. I think he's trying to figure out how to move on in a classy way. That's what I truly believe. Russ is a guy that's not concerned how you think about me or what you think about me. He's concerned about what type of legacy I will leave behind. He's trying to leave the legacy that he did things the right way so guys can follow that same blueprint. I think he struggles with how to move on in a classy way, in a way where people can look at him and say, you know what, he still did it the right way because that's important for Russ. Now, I don't believe that he is being hit too much. I think that he can be frustrated with how Seattle is doing things. I think actually right now would be a better time for Russell Wilson in Seattle because they got rid of Brian Schottenheimer. Which, by the way, we didn't even talk about this. RIP to Marty yesterday.
Yeah.
So that you hate losing the class acts of the NFL and the guys that were great at what they did. He was a big time face of the NFL for a long time back in the 90s. But yeah, that's a hate to see that. But Brian Schottenheimer was fired from Seattle. Part of the issue there was he ran the ball way too much. They made it,
but that's
super
what Pete wants. And they hired another offensive coordinator that's just going to do the same thing because that's what Pete wants to do.
And if
Pete's
that's the head case, coach, then maybe Russell Wilson does want to get out there or out of there because that's not the way that you win games in the NFL.
Like we gotta figure out a way for these players to do that, though, because this is not the NBA. This is not baseball where you're a star and you could say, I want this, and you can pout and you can scream, and all of a sudden the team realizes, well, we have no real power here. We're just going to let you go, and we'll take the loss. We'll take, 60 cents on the dollar if we can get it. That doesn't happen in the NFL because the window of the time for these guys to be good is so short and so small because it's such a physical game that for you to be able to say, I'm willing, the only way you'd have that leverage is you have to miss a year. You have to sit out. That's it. And nobody's been willing to do that because while they can go a year without getting hit, that when they come back, they're not the same because you don't get better at football by taking a year off from football. That just has never happened. Le'Veon Bell is a prime example. He didn't get the money he thought he was going to get. He ended up in a shittier situation, and he's never been the same player that he was. Sitting out a year hurt his career.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that's a running back as opposed to a quarterback might be a lot different. Nobody's had the balls to pull the trigger on actually doing it. All right. So he can say all the things, even if he says, I'm done trying to be classy about it. Even if he says, screw it, I'm going to make it an ugly divorce. I want out. You still have to hope that the Seahawks trade you because they've got you on a pretty good contract right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, at one point it was the highest paid quarterback in the league. Now, obviously, every quarterback since then.
Change is over every couple of years or every year. And therein lies the problem is, you just can't do it. And with the franchise tag being a thing, it's really worth a guy like him of his caliber, a guy like Watson, their caliber. Watson, to franchise tag somebody twice is very much a real thing. By the time that you're paying them the second franchise, that's what top-tier quarterbacks are going for anyway. So you're not hurt by tagging them twice. Now, nobody will ever tag anybody three times. The money comes to a point where it would cripple you franchise-wise, and you almost don't even have the cap room to do that. But to franchise a top-tier quarterback twice, yeah, it's worth the money. So even if you whine, bitch, and moan up until the end of your career, your contract, they still got two more years of leverage over you.
Yeah. Not to mention, so Bob Condotta from the Seattle Times mentioned Russell Wilson has a no-trade clause in his contract. Yep. So he has veto power.
Would definitely get to pick where he wants to go.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. On this, so his cap hit is pretty massive. Averages $35 million per year, gradually increases in terms of the cap hit. So it's $31 million in 2020, $32 in 2021, $37 in 2022, and then $39 in 2023. It's big. And there's no way to really build. That's the thing about this.
They're assuming the reason they were able to do those contracts that way is they're assuming the cap is going to go up a little every year, it has every year. This year's going to hurt people, but for the most part, that 39 million and whatever it is this year is no different. Agreed. When that year gets here, it's just going to be the same. Rising tide floats all boats. You just give him, you know, $8 million more a year to spend, and he's going to make $2 million a year more of that eight.
Yeah. Alonzo jumped in. He said he has tears of Ciara as well. Did you see the look on his face at the Super Bowl? He just looked like a dude that was happy to be there.
I don't know what that means.
Damien said, Russell Wilson to Chicago, screw Wentz. Chicago's getting tired of the Wentz deal. So, that doesn't look like it'll happen.
I can't understand. I'm telling you, there might be a GM out there dumb enough to do it, okay? There really might be a GM out there. And maybe it is the Colts, and maybe everybody was right. I mean, you know,
or maybe
everybody in the world has said it. But anybody who willing to pay Carson Wentz, A, to give up draft capital, and B, to pay the salary that you're going to pay him is an idiot. They're just wrong. He's not worth that. He's not worth the salary alone, much less assets on top of the salary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so any GM that does it, and just because Frank Reich has won with him in the past, why would you still pay for a guy that's broken? Just because a Cadillac Escalade was an $80,000 vehicle, 5 years later, you're not paying $80,000 anymore.
That's true.
It is gone down precipitously, and now it's like a $20,000 vehicle, okay? Maybe a $15,000 vehicle, but it ain't worth $80,000. So we have to stop with they have cap room. Why not? That's how NFL franchises win, right? It's they just piss away assets. They just piss away cap room on a project. That's it. I've got $90 million. Let me buy this thing that's broken and think that I can fix it.
Yeah.
That's an expert idea. Let's do that. No, let's not do that. Let's draft somebody, or let's go get somebody who's substantially cheaper and far better. I would draft a guy, and I would sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, because you're going to get Ryan way cheaper than Wentz, and he's going to cost you no extra assets, just the money you're going to pay him, and he's light years better than Carson Wentz right now. So what are we talking about? You got the rookie hoping that he's going to develop into something. And you got that $90 million of whatever your cap room is. Go get every defensive player out there. Shaq Barrett's about to become a free agent. Go sign Shaq Barrett. Go sign Sue. Go sign whoever these guys are that are going to come up in the open market and load up. Oh, yeah. Offensively, go get the most expensive, best wide receiver in the league. Let's do that, and let's surround this team with low. I mean, let's just make this a super team. If you got $90 million of cap space, don't piss 30 of it away on Carson Wentz.
That's stupid. I love how you get so passionate every time it gets brought up. Casey brought up, I could see Russ going to the Bears. I could see Russ winning in a lot of situations. To stay on Russell Wilson, Jason Lockenfora brought up that he could 100% see the Raiders being willing to trade to get him. And I could see that. I could absolutely see
my
that.
My question is, if you're Seattle, you got to stop looking at the other teams. If you're Seattle, why the hell do you do this?
Oh, you wouldn't.
What do you make them pay?
It same with the Texans. So, the Texans are, unless they get some ridiculous deal. It's all fun to say,
this guy would be cool going here, and this guy would be cool going here. What do you have that I want that's more valuable than this?
Yeah. I mean, we just saw what Matt Stafford got traded for. The draft capital there was absolutely
now a little
absurd.
Bit of that's bad compromise, because they actually had to give an extra pick because the other team was taking a bad contract.
Yes. No, absolutely.
Matt Stafford was basically going to get traded for one first round pick. That's the list.
So, Casey, this is Damien said Wentz isn't even worth a bag of chips. But Casey brought up something that this may be the smartest thing that I've heard him say, and it's the end of this, all right? He said, only thing that worries me about my Colts and Wentz prediction is that they might be planning a Foles reunion, but I think he goes to Indy, even though it's a horrible deal for the Colts. I've never heard him actually say it's a horrible deal for the Colts.
Why do we think the Colts would I value Frank Wright. I think Frank Wright is one of the top five, definitely top seven or eight offensive minds in the NFL. Okay.
Yeah.
I really value him a lot. I think that front office is really smart. They've drafted unbelievably well. They've made some great free agent signings. Why do we think these people who are really smart would do this really dumb thing? Because Frank is friends with the guy? That, look, I'm friends with a lot of guys who are morons. Okay. I wouldn't hire any of them. Right. I can invite them over. We can have some ribs. We can throw back a couple pops, but I'm not getting in business with them.
And now there is a smart way to go about locking up the quarterback position for your football team. Right. And that would not be one of them, but let's move on because this is a good transition point. Washington football team signed Taylor Heinicke to a 2-year, $8.75 million deal. It's not going to break the bank. They didn't go above and beyond to make sure that they locked him up or anything like that.
They didn't overreact one game.
But they
damn sure rewarded him for one game.
They gave him the opportunity to play it out. Even if he just turns out to be the backup.
$8 million. Yeah, that's great. That's that life-changing money. This guy was like in school for something else, okay, when he got called up. All right. Like he didn't think he was gonna be a professional quarterback.
Yeah, okay? I mean he was in the XFL. He played pretty well in the XFL and then he gets the call up from Washington after being basically just
this
a dude.
This is Ron Rivera, a smart football guy, making smart football decisions. He understands this league and how it works. He understands there's value in rewarding the guy that did what he did. Okay. Because if you don't reward that guy, the rest of the locker room, you're going to lose him. And Ron will never lose a locker room. That might be the one coach that I believe that couldn't lose a locker room. All right. He's a former NFL player. Guys who used to play know the locker room better than anybody who didn't used to play. Okay.
Yeah.
And he rewards this guy with this deal, gives him $8 million, got a ton of incentives on there to where if he turns into the next Tom Brady, the second coming of Brett Favre or something like that, then he's greatly rewarded and it's still a good deal for the Washington football team. Oh, yeah. Also, it's not so much money that they can't go for another quarterback, either in the draft or in free agency or something of that nature, and let them compete. Competition is important in this game.
Yes. Heinicke was taking math classes at Old Dominion University, where he played collegiately when Washington signed with the practice squad December 8th. He had been out of the NFL since Final Cuts of 2019, and he had been going back and forth between living with his mom and his sister. He said, I was not very much fun to be around when I wasn't in the league. Those two have done so much for me, they kept my head straight. And now, he said he also worked out at a local gym, and he worked his ass off. He gets a contract for, almost $9 million. Like, this is life-changing money for him. Damian asked, all right, so Casey, I just think it's scripted for Reich and Wentz to get back together and for Wentz to look good again. I hope I'm wrong because Wentz doesn't deserve a good script. Look, I don't think that Carson Wentz is a bad dude. Like, just because we're talking about his football ability does not mean that we don't like him personally. I don't know anything about him. Seemed perfectly reasonable.
He seemed very good to quit on the Eagles when he got benched. If you don't play good enough to win, and then you turn on your locker room and your teammates and pout and sulk because you weren't good enough. That ain't their fault, brother. This ain't the organization's fault.
That's a valid
either.
Point.
That's your fault. So I'm not saying he's like the worst guy in the world, but the idea that there's a script is annoying and nauseating. And Damian, there is no reunion for Newton unless Newton wants to come be a media member or, sign some autographs or what. Newton is
on the podcast. What Damian jumped in on the chat with was, do y'all see Ron Rivera and Cam Newton back together? And Cam Newton
will not play football for any of the 32 NFL teams ever again.
You don't think so?
No,
nobody's
going to
sign him for
that. Guy was awful.
Yeah, and
he has lost every bit of the ability he has.
Yeah, and
he can't throw. What do you want him to do?
You got a valid point. I mean, he's not young enough anymore. His body is almost completely broken down. I mean, there's not much left.
Accurately throw dump passes to screen, like basic screen passes to running backs. Like he can't accurately do that. And he no longer has the speed to be able to run anymore. He's still got strength. He's still got power, but a quarterback can't do that 20 times a game. It's over. His career's done.
Washington's, Damian said Bears would be stupid to get. Everybody would be stupid.
All 32 everybody. Teams would be dumb if they hired Cam Newton.
Washington, so this signing for Washington to sign a quarterback that that looked really good in the playoff game, looked good at the end of the season. Does this make them more likely to go out and sign a veteran or to draft somebody in the first round this year?
Well, I don't know about first round, but I do think that they'll probably address it in the draft.
Yeah, I could see that.
I see it being a first round guy. Sometimes as first round guys, you got a lot of pressure to start him really quickly. If he's a third round guy, you know, he's just a backup that you're grooming and hope that he becomes something or whatever. I don't know. You know, they just want to win. They don't really care who their quarterback is. I do believe they are a quarterback away from being special. While I like rewarding Heinicke, man, I think I would be aggressive. And of course, they tried to get aggressive on Matt Stafford. They've put the calls in to Houston. Like, they're trying to get a big boy quarterback because I think they believe they're a quarterback away. They're a trigger man away from being a Super Bowl contender. Let's not forget, this team, this football team, gave the Bucs the toughest run in the playoffs, okay? It wasn't the number one seed overall Saints, all right? Or the number two seed overall Saints. It wasn't the number one overall seed Packers, and it damn sure wasn't the one overall over the whole NFL Chiefs. It just wasn't. This football team, nobody could score on them. All of those other offenses who are great couldn't put up points against this Bucs defense. You know who put up a metric shit ton of points? Heinicke.
Yeah, they do still have Alex Smith under contract for the next two seasons.
God, I can't picture that guy playing.
Same here. It's not that he was awful this past year, but he wasn't.
But he was not. He's not good, and it's. But he's somebody I want in my locker room, and if he's not going to be in the locker room, I want him in the front office or holding a clipboard on the sidelines. I want him coaching.
Yeah. No. I don't know if that's his desire,
but I would. I would keep him on the roster if it meant just keeping his brain, his energy, his what he brings to a clubhouse on the team. I would keep a roster spot for him.
His contract, by the way, I mean, it's pretty ridiculous. His cap hit for 2021 is $24.4 million. His dead cap.
They got 30-something million high up in quarterbacks.
His dead cap is $10.8 million. In 2022, his cap hit is $26.4 million. His dead cap is only $5.4 million. We're getting to the point where he's probably going to get cut, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, at some point in time.
So you hate to see it, but he doesn't bring that value. So... let's move on, and let's talk right quick a little NBA stuff, right? So we don't try to get very political on this show, but this is a very interesting thing that is going on with the Dallas Mavericks. Mark Cuban announced, he told ESPN, I won't say he announced, but he made the decision to stop playing the national anthem before home games, he said, after consulting with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Well, they never announced it or anything, but they have not played the national anthem for any of their 13 preseason and regular season games so far at American Airlines Center this season. The NBA rulebook says that players are required to stand during the national anthem. Silver has not enforced that rule because of, you know, kneeling for the anthem that became a popular way to protest social injustice, et cetera, et cetera. The NBA came out today and said, nah, y'all are going to play the anthem. Like, y'all are going to start playing the anthem. And the reason it's so interesting, like, one, you and I have talked about this before on this show. Why do we play the anthem? Like, it kind of doesn't make sense.
I go to work. We don't play the anthem before we start jobs. Like there's very few things in the world. I don't know why we started doing it for every sporting event in the world.
I'll tell you why. And you and I both already know this.
Well, I know the answer why.
It's a contract. The U.S. government pays.
Yeah. Our tax dollars, by the way, not the U.S. The U.S. government doesn't exist. They're the entity that spends our tax dollars.
Yes. Our tax dollars go to paying the NBA, the NFL, the Major NHL,
baseball,
Major League Baseball, hockey, et cetera.
Soccer,
all to do this this big patriotic deal before every game, right? The national anthem is played. They bring out the flag. Everybody puts their hand over their heart, you know, blah, 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 blah. All that gets done before it. Now, you wouldn't do that for movies or, you know, just going out to live concerts. Kind of, yeah. Like, you don't like, do that like, for any
there's
other.
There's nothing else that we do this for. Like I don't know when it started. I wasn't old enough for alive when it started. It started way before my time in this earth. But the problem I have is if it's an issue, let's just stop doing it.
Like that's
if it's going to cause division, let's just stop doing it. It doesn't mean you're unpatriotic because you're not doing it. It just eliminates the problem. It takes away the thing that we're all fighting about.
Yes. Now, that's what surprised me about the NBA coming out and saying, hey, you're going to be playing the anthem. The reason that they want everybody, because their statement was all teams will play the national anthem. The reason why they would do that right now is because the NBA is losing viewers and losing fans at a just absurd, enormous rate, right? That's why they would do it, is to try and get the fans back that they have lost. I don't think it's going to change anything if you still allow people to protest, right? Like, my thought process is, just get it out of here. It's no longer a distraction. It's no longer anything to divide us. Just that's fine. We don't have to have this before basketball games. It's kind of ridiculous when you think about it on its face. Now, that's not me being anti-patriotism or anything like that, like we just talked about. It's just getting a distraction out of the way. I was
like,
surprised.
Doing it before big events, I get. Like, doing it before the Super Bowl makes sense. Doing it before the game one of the, you know, the All-Star game or game one of
the World
of the Finals or World Series makes sense. Like, that's a big deal. And there's a lot of pageantry that goes into that. But some rando Tuesday night, you know, where, you know, the Clippers are coming in town and nobody cares. Like, what are we talking about? What are we doing?
Yeah, I'm with you. Damian jumps
in. We're
going
to use this thing to cause a fight? That's stupid.
Damian said, the NBA is stupid. Nobody should be forced to do anything that they don't want to do.
And you know me, I'm on record. I don't like our tax dollars paying these billion-dollar companies to do the anthems. If you want to do the anthem, do the anthem. But why is government paying for it?
Yeah.
Why are we paying for it?
I'm curious if it's the same thing in Canada. Like,
even if it is, I don't care.
No, agreed.
A misappropriation of funds is a misappropriation of funds. It is a waste of money.
Yes, I'm agreeing with you on that for sure. I was just curious about Canada because, like, they play the Canadian national anthem, but I don't know that they have to. I think that it just became a tradition thing, and, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder, does the NHL get paid by Canada to do that?
It's interesting.
Or do they just do it?
And I wonder, like, Major League Baseball and the NHL obviously have teams in Canada and the United States. I do wonder if they just do that for those teams, just for the fans that are there.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me. If Canada chooses to do that, that's fine. That's not my tax dollars.
Yeah.
Okay. The only issue I've got with Cuban in this situation is if he's getting his, you know, 1/30th share of whatever the federal government is paying the NBA to play the national anthem and he's not doing it. No. You're okay to not do it. You also got to not take that little bit of money. All right. That's not for you.
Yeah.
You don't get to take the money and not play it.
Damian said, but in Mexico, they do the national anthem for soccer games. Terry said they did the anthem before the River Kings games, before they got rid of them for that crap basketball single A team. And Damian said, and baseball. I do wonder if some of it is just tradition from some of these other countries. I know that in the United States, it's bought and paid for.
Yes, like
paid for patriotism.
That's the issue that I have. Is I don't care where it started, and the fact that, well, it's what we've always done. Okay. We do a lot of things today just because of tradition that's bad, all right?
Yeah.
And we used to do a lot of things that were horrible because of tradition, and we stopped them, all right? So, you know, tradition's a pretty bad argument for doing something. You need a reason for it.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that.
And using tax dollars, and I understand that, let's say they pay them $2 million a year. Okay, I don't think it's massive, but compared to like the trillions of dollars we're in debt. At the end of the day, it's not the matter of, I have a problem with us paying for this. I just do. I just do.
I can.
The reason we're trillions of dollars in debt is because every time you turn around, we just piss away $2 million here and $2 million there, and at the end of the day, it all adds up to a couple of $1 billion. All right, and that's a problem.
But it's the same as somebody that can't pay their rent, going out to a bar and drinking all night.
Yeah,
right.
It's the same. You're running up a $60 tab, but you can't come up with the $700 you owe your landlord.
You got it.
But the landlord's an asshole if he wants to throw you out.
You got it. All right, let's close out on this one. The Florida Gators football team announced today that they are playing Notre Dame in football in 2030 and 2031. And it made me go and look and see what the schedule looks like, because SEC teams have been announcing big-time non-conference games going out through, 2035 or whatever the hell it is, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And you have a bunch of big-time games. Georgia and Clemson have got a matchup coming up. Georgia and Ohio State, Alabama, Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, Alabama, Texas, LSU, and UCLA are playing this year. LSU has got, they did a home-and-home with Virginia Tech before. I know LSU's got a bunch coming up as well.
Yeah.
And Florida has started doing a bunch of these, right? Home-and-homes with Colorado, with Arizona State, with, blah, 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 blah. Florida's non-conference schedule in 2031 includes a game at Texas, at home against Arizona State, at Notre Dame, and then at home against Florida State. That is their non-conference schedule. And then, of course, they have their SEC schedule on top of that, right? So you've got 8 SEC games. You already play Georgia and LSU every year. So that is 6 possible losses right off the top, before you even look at anything else. And we are so far away from, because I will guarantee you, in 2031, Dan Mullen,
all those teams won't be ranked.
And who knows? Because it's cyclical. It always changes.
Or might not be top 10 ranked. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Herm Edwards probably won't be the Arizona State coach by 2031. So,
yeah, he's like 70-something years old, right?
He's, I want to say he's like same age as Nick Saban, maybe. As a matter of fact, I will pull it up right now.
Either way, 66.
All right, there you go. So he's a couple of years younger than Nick Saban. Yeah. Either way, what are they thinking with this? Like, my initial thought process and the way that it was explained to me by people that are involved with athletics are people are more inclined to stay home to watch big games because the cost of attendance is so high. Why would they come out to games unless it is a big-time matchup, right? That's why Alabama's bringing in Ohio State and Texas and Notre Dame, et cetera, et cetera. It's why Auburn is bringing in Penn State in 2 years. They're going to Penn State this year. It's the same thing. You're bringing in high-profile matchups that people want to be in the stands for. But you would do one or two of those a year, not 4, right? And so when you trade the home-and-homes, eventually – you got to play some of them in back-to-back years, right? Like, that's the way that some of this stuff works. For Florida to play at Notre Dame, at Texas, and then bring Arizona State and Florida State to your place, now, not all those teams are going to be good in the same year, but they might be. That's insanely difficult to do that and have Georgia and LSU on the schedule along with the rest of your SEC stuff. Like, I don't understand the point of this at all. I know that they're talking about expanding the playoffs, and that's what everybody's scheduling this out for is, hey, we understand that losses right now, you try and schedule out of losses. That's why you don't get a ton of these big-time matchups, is because any loss on your schedule is going to hurt your playoff resume because of the way that the committee looks at it right now. But once it gets to 8 teams or whatever, that may not hurt as much. I'm curious. Like, what do you think is the idea behind this, or do they maybe not have an idea?
No, I don't know. I mean, I just think, for every game they do this, they're going to make a shitload of money in. And instead of paying somebody $1.3 million to come in and play them, because that's what they would be replacing it with, right?
Yeah.
It'd be a pay-for-win. Then, this is a financial decision. This is they're going to make, when this is over with, they're going to make a lot of money. Say, well, they're already making so much money on the TV deal. Listen, these schools operate it. Everybody who makes a lot always want to make more. Okay.
Yeah.
Very few people are like, you know what? I think I've made enough. All right. At $8 million last year, that's fine. I don't need to make any more. Nobody's ever said that. ever. They all say they would say that until they start making it. And then they think of more shit to spend it on and the next generation of families to pay for. And then they all say, oh, well, let's go make more money. I think that's probably a lot of it. They're paying off a lot of coaches right now still. Yeah. I think the boosters have went through a massive recession and they've realized we got to stop hitting these, you know, bastards up for money and let's just generate our own. And if we can't pay for wins, then let's just pay somebody we'll make a lot of money on because we'll sell out the swamp one more time. And I have an appreciation for that. I like that they're doing that, by the way. I wish LSU would do that. I'm not afraid of losses. I want to watch good football. You know, the thing that I hate most about college football is there's 130 teams, okay? On any given Saturday, there might be three good games on. Maybe. Yeah.
There are some weekends that are just abysmal, right?
And then, hang on. Every now and then, we get a big boy versus a little guy, and that game ends up being good. But now that's a spin of the roulette wheel, man. You got 70 options, and you got to hope that you're watching the one game that turns out to be a good game.
And there's no guarantee there's no guarantee that these would actually be good games.
No,
but you got more of a chance. And honestly, I would rather watch Florida and Arizona State even just for the jerseys than really anything else. Florida against Georgia Southern or whatever.
It gives them an opportunity to go out west and recruit. Like, that's a big deal thing too. Is because Notre Dame is the master at this, by the way. This is how Notre Dame has gotten to that next level above Michigan. All right. Of like, we're a smart kid school. How are we semi-competing with the big boys and getting into the conversation with them? It's they literally spent six of their games in the state of California a couple of years ago. Like they're now playing more games down south because they understand we have to go on the road to get these kids. And these kids get to see us. We get to invite them into our locker rooms, even though they're visiting locker rooms. They get to be on our sides as recruits and watch these big-time games. And then we get to fly them up to Notre Dame and let them see us there. But this is how we get our hands on them. And this is how they get to see Notre Dame football and all our traditions, and even in from a visiting side. I think it's important. And I think if you're not doing this stuff, you need to. The only ones that don't need to do it are the guys that are already at the top of the mountain that don't have to change anything because the sport is already set up for them to stay what they are. Okay.
Yeah.
Florida's not there. And Florida wants to be there.
No, it makes sense. And this is still 10 years away.
Now, here's what I hate,
but
the 10-year factor.
Yeah.
Why in the hell, in a year where we put games together in a couple of weeks or in sometimes less than 6 days of notice, okay? Why in the hell are we making contracts and schedules 10 years in advance? Can we not do this in 2 years? Can we not play these games in 3 years?
Well,
like, I'm not saying do it next year, but what in the hell are we doing?
Well, so this is the way that it's been done for forever, and there are contracts that are still signed.
Those are all pay-for-win contracts, right? Those are all pay-for-win contracts that you would buy out of, correct?
Not all of them, but some of them.
You're talking about two non-con games a year that are pay-for-wins, that they could easily just show up to those guys and say, instead of paying you 1.3, we're going to give you 500 large to break this contract, and you're going to go get 1.3 from somebody else. So you're going to double dip, and we get to play a big boy game next year.
You
can buy out of that contract easily.
Here's what Florida has this year, right? They've got Florida Atlantic at home. They play at South Florida. They've got Samford at home, and then Florida State.
So Samford and the first one, Florida Atlantic, they could buy out of tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow for less than $1 million for both of them.
Utah, South Florida, and then at Florida State in 2022. So they still have one game that is open in 2022. 2023, they play at Utah. Then they've got Charlotte and Florida State at home. 2024, they've got Miami and Samford at home, and then at Florida State. There's bye games on here.
Every one of these teams have four non-con games, Gary. Two of those are a pay for win.
So
you can buy your way out of that. And if it's not a pay for win, then you've already scheduled well.
2022,
you don't have to buy out of that.
22, 23, 24, 26. Florida's only got three non-conference games scheduled, so they still have to schedule one.
Yeah. Why kick these 10 years back?
It's a great question. I don't have a good answer for it.
This is what bothers me about this sport is not only does progress move slowly, everything in this damn sport moves slowly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for what reason?
Right. Money.
Just because it's the way we've always done it.
Yeah, it's tradition. It's because of money, morons. Because of whatever.
It's moron. The people before me were morons, the people before them were morons, and the people before them, and moron begets moron begets morons.
I guarantee you that they swap out that Arizona State game, because in 2029, well, 2027, 2029, and 2030, they've only got two non-conference games scheduled in those seasons. So, you know, they play at NC State in 2026, and then NC State returns the trip in 2032. I mean, it's just insane to think about these contracts. Casey jumped in. He said Kentucky got Penn State's quarterback. Yeah, they got Will Levis, and then they got a wide receiver from Michigan State. He said, I'm not sure he's a lot better than Terry Wilson, but I hope. Levis was fine. I mean, he didn't win the starting job over Sean. God, I've forgotten his name already. Damien said, "So y'all don't, or y'all still don't think sports is rigged, huh?"
Nope.
No, I think that some of the business dealings are shady and ridiculous. Like we're talking about the
because people are bad at their jobs doesn't mean it's scripted.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If these people were in charge of scripting it, the cat would have been out of the bag a long time ago.
I agree there for sure, absolutely for sure. So. Let's go ahead and get out of here on that note. You guys have been fantastic. Thank you for jumping in with us early. We are going to go and make sure that, you know, driveways are salted and all that kind of mess so that we can actually get out if we need to. I'm not planning on it, but we shall see. But either way, make sure that you head over to winningcureseverything.com. Our college football gambling content is over at sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. You can see the sbrpicks.com right behind Chris there. That is the best way to find our stuff over there. We do a weekly off-season show. Now, obviously, we are not fans of calling it off-season. There is no real off-season. But there is a game this weekend, and we talked about it on our show over there. So make sure that you head over to YouTube and search out SBR Picks over there. That is the easiest way to find it. So with that said, go to winningcureseverything.com, sign up for the podcast, leave a nice 5-star review over there, and make sure that you are subscribed to SBR Picks on YouTube. And Chris, is there anything else that we need to hit on?
No, that's it.
That is it. All right, you guys take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and hopefully we can cash some tickets this week.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.